Good evening, everybody. You have found your way to Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles with Jay and Alan. And I'm so grateful that you are with us this beautiful evening, all of you listeners, and my beautiful babes, Alan.
Hi, good evening, everybody, and happy Wednesday, happy hump day.
So, like Alan said, if it's Wednesday, and it's Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, or the minute after, then it must be Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles. And as I said, and I'll say it again, I said it before and I'll say it again, I'm so excited that you're with us. And for tonight, we have a fun, some may consider it a little bit taboo of a topic. Even though for Alan and I feel like we have been sort of having to deal with our own, quote, I'll just say it. We're going to talk about sexuality, sex and sexuality, and what some even call a lifestyle. Those of us that are born gay, for example, don't feel like it's a lifestyle choice. It's something that we feel natural. We're going to talk about a little bit about my experience. We're going to also talk about Alan's experience. And Alan has the most dynamic experience of ours in the sense of where he started from and to where we are sitting here on this couch.
Giving everything away now already.
I gave no details.
No, okay. So yes, we are going to be talking about basically a little bit about our lives, and hopefully our stories will encourage people that are questioning or they're having worries or fears to come out or to stay where they are or whatever the decisions works for them, because sex always has been taboo, and as most of us are raised with the shame or the guilt, talking about it, acting on it, or even discussing it.
Absolutely. I mean, I just, again, I know from my own experience, it's been quite an evolution. And you're going to get to hear, more about Alan's journey. And as Alan said, we're excited about opening up the conversation to everybody that's listening in. For those of you that might want to just share so that you have some kind of success story, and or if you're in a position where you're going through some sort of transition or trying to understand something in a different kind of way about yourself, we hope that we can have a safe, well, our intention is to hold a safe space for you here to be able to do that and for us to have a conversation about it. So, Alan, do you want to start off with your sex and sexuality journey in the sense of giving our listeners a bit of a understanding of where you have been, what you've experienced, and then what has led you to be sitting on the couch across from me as your partner?
Well, let's start saying, you can call me at 1-900. I'm just kidding. No. So, I mean, sex and sexuality, we are all, of course, curious as kids. When we grow up, it's something that, I guess, genetically or evolutionary, somehow it's imprinted in us, our desires, our wants, our needs. And I was a child, like everybody else, grew up, migrated out of my country to different places to get to the mighty America. So in the process of that, I was dating here and there, very little, if you can call it even dating, like talking to girls. I was very comfortable about around girls, sitting there and talking to them, but I wasn't comfortable, or I didn't think about them sexually, and I thought that would be enough, and just be making friends, and you know, and probably stealing a kiss here and there, and which I thought that's totally normal. And then growing up, I in the process of migrating to the States, I met this one person, and we became great friends. Her and me, we were like, we could sit there and talk for hours about everything, and we continued our friendship here in the States with a group of other people. And there was like probably 8-9 of us. We were a group of friends. Every weekend we would go to the beach or each other's house or just like things that just spend some time like young adults or teenagers would do. And our friendship kept growing and our friends were making fun of us, like kind of joking about it that, oh my God, we are going to get married. And yeah, so that kind of started the ball rolling. And we both weren't experienced or mature, but we just thought about, yeah, sure. I mean, we get along fine. That would be an idea to date each other, to just be boyfriend, girlfriends. And that's how it started. And we did. And long story short, got married. I have a son. I have an amazing son, which I'm very proud of. And he's 23 now. So we got married. And in the process of it, I'm not going to leave this out. I had a fabulous, humongous wedding. I mean, I planned that wedding for 2 years. And then I wanted a huge wedding. So that should say a lot about the groom-to-be.
Well, not only was it a huge wedding, and was it immaculately planned by yours truly, he also was very much a part of like fashion choices as far as what colors and dress and all that, right? You were very involved.
Yeah, oh yes, absolutely. Even the wedding gown that the groom is not supposed to see. I'm like, oh hell no, I gotta see what it is. I need to put my opinion in this. So anyway, we got married and stuff, and in the meantime, after, like, I would say right after the wedding, I was question. I mean, even before that, probably I was like questioning my sexuality. Because I always found men very attractive, very sexual, I found them hot. And then I kept telling myself the narrative of, if I find them hot, so what? Everybody else would think, or if a person is handsome, you just say he's handsome. It's not like I'm sleeping with them. And kind of pushed that agenda under the rug through the years. I'm like, oh no, I'm just observant. And then I think 2 or 3 years, my son probably must have been 2 or something. It doesn't matter when. I mean, it was like early in the marriage that I really, really felt like I need to figure myself out because I was understanding myself more and I was thinking about it a lot, like what's up with this? And I would also reflect on my childhood. That I remember when the school bus would pick us all up and drive through the town to go to the school. It was all boys' school. So in Iran, we are boys and girls are separate. So they would see a girl all covered up, even on the street. All the boys, ages between 12 to 13, 14, they would be like, oh my God, look. And they would be all excited, like the boys do. I never understood that. I'm like, well, what is this to look? I mean, who cares? And then all of a sudden, a motorcyclist would drive by. I'm like, oh, wow. I would notice that. So I felt like I'm different than all of them. But again, this is like in the 80s. So a 14-year-old in the 80s, you don't think much about it. Nothing was talked to us. Nothing was explained to us. You had to figure it out. So post-marriage, I started to figuring it out. And at one point, after my son, family was like kind of imposing and pushing, oh, when is the second one will come? That's where it started to overwhelm me and scare me and really think about what do I want. That I sat and my wife down and I had to have a conversation with her. So that is my part of figuring myself out. But I feel extremely, extremely blessed with her. As difficult as it was for her, she was very much on board with me. She was very supportive with me. And she didn't even raise her voice when we're talking. As I mean, of course, it's upsetting, it's disappointing, absolutely, because you plan to get old with that person that you got married. We all do that. When we are with a person, we don't decide, okay, I'm with them for this amount of time and I'm gonna leave or divorce. You go with the best intention and rest of it, you'll figure it out. And that's what we did. And then when I figured it out, I thought it would be very unfair to live a lie and waste her youth, her life, and mine. So we talked, and now it's been almost 20 years that I came out to her. But of course, we had to see counselor, we had to see therapist to coexist, because she wanted it and we agreed to it, to live together to raise our son. And we did that. And so it's been a roller coaster. I mean, talk about sexuality. And then when I came out and stuff, when people say, oh my God, they think they're being supportive. Oh my God, that's absolutely your choice. I mean, it's your life, your choice. It is not a choice. People, please understand this. It definitely is not a choice. Nobody chooses to be gay. Nobody chooses to be straight. You are who you are. There is nothing wrong with any of them. And I always said nobody chooses to be gay because it is not easy. I mean, now it's easier for a younger generation because people are a little bit more, parents are a little bit more open-minded, they're more educated, social media and all that. But back then, who wants to choose that? I lived in fear. I was mortified to come out to her or to any of my family members because I didn't want to hurt them. I didn't want to disappoint them. And like all of us that came out, or most of us that came out, we went through that. And we were lucky if our parents would accept us the way we are and love us. And in my case, I was extremely blessed. They weren't jumping up and down for joy. Yes, they weren't. Mind you, they're Middle Eastern parents. But I felt their love. They support the way they can support it. And I don't push the agenda to them. I don't talk to them on details and explain them. Now me and Jay are living together. My parents are, they know that, and they're totally on board with us, supportive of us. And my siblings, and even my wife, and especially my wife and her family, they love Jay, and that's a huge blessing. So it is not easy when you deal with your sexuality. And us, that we are the kids from the 70s, 80s, nowadays, that when we figure our lives out, ourselves out, our desires out, some of us come out in the later in life, and all we can do is be supportive and respectful. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to actually like it. You just have to be respectful.
So a couple things I want to mention that came up for me while you were telling your story, and I agree, gay or straight, no judgment. It's something that is organically just you. Or bisexual. I think there's even, like, I don't know, a lot of other descriptors that I don't know. but my point to that is, for me, it's the way I see it energetically is it's like a meter. And let's say gay is on one side of the meter and straight is on another. And then there's like everything in between. And most people are not all gay and most people are not all straight. It's some kind of combination and everyone has their own. They may not see it that way or may not think about that way, but that's the way I see it in the energy. So all that to say, I really don't feel judgment from this thing called God with regards to our sexuality. I feel that is impressed upon us in religion. And or other social cultural beliefs. And so for me, it was religion. That's where I had a hard time. And this is where I think people might get confused on where it's a choice for us. Yes, it may be a choice to come out, but it's not a choice to be gay, just like it's not a choice to be straight. Like for those of you that would identify as straight, for example, you didn't wake up one day and just decide, oh, I'm straight today. You just knew you were. And in the same way as a gay man, I knew for myself, I'm one of the gays that's very gay, super gay on the gay meter. And I've always known that. And I know socially, though, that wasn't like acceptable for me. I'm a little bit younger than Alan, but I still grew up in the 80s. And and I did grow up in a religious home, evangelical free Christian home. And then I went, when I moved to Bakersfield for a time, we went Baptist and Mennonite. So it was even more traditional, more religious. so for me, that I had to come up and come out against, not against, but just come out of that. I had to find my way out of all the judgment and the paradigm of right and wrong. And I had to come forward and find my own way to confidently be the gay man that I am. And for me, what I kept running across is people trying to want to be with me to see if they could change my mind. There were people that wanted to be with me just to still have a family. But for me, I always was like the hopeless romantic and wanted a gay relationship, and I didn't necessarily need to be married, but I wanted a commitment and there to be a partnership, and I was going to hold out for that. And I didn't want kids. And nothing personal to everybody that has them, but for me, I just knew that was not on, like that wasn't a biological clock ticking thing for me, and I was okay with that. But I also felt the social pressure and the need to, it's almost like I should have had that need, but I didn't. So it just, people in my life that it was a thing for them had a hard time that it wasn't a thing for me.
So when you talked about the religion, one of my friends who's gay and has a partner of 30 years, I was one time speaking to his mom and asking her how she felt when her son came out to her. And I remember, and she, this woman is a very devoted Catholic and very religious and like going to the Holy Land and meeting the Pope and all that kind of religion. When I asked her, she gave me an amazing, amazing answer that I was like, oh my God, this makes total sense. I wish everybody would think the same way. I asked her, how did you feel when your son was gay? And her response was, well, I believe that a man should be a woman. That was her opinion. But I'm a believer in God, and I think that's a true believer in God, when she said, God made everybody for a reason. If he made my son, he created this person, and this person is gay, guess what? That's God's work, and I respect that. What a beautiful answer. And we all are the creatures of God. We are all made by one person, one energy, one light. And sometimes, yes, we do sit back and we judge each other, not just say for sexual orientations, but for different things. But when you think about it, gay or straight or bi or whatever, it is, I mean, like Jay said, there's so many expressions nowadays, I can't even keep it up. But that is their life. That's their being. They're not disrespecting anyone. They're not pushing that agenda. Yes, the government sometimes, yes, I can hear people thinking like, oh, it is being pushed to us. But as a gay couple, we just are a couple. Doesn't have to be named a gay couple. Because I don't walk to anyone that are straight married couple saying, oh, you guys are straight couple. And I think it's like this. If you want to tell your kid, and there's like, you take your kid to a park and there are children and you're encouraging them to go and socialize and play with the kids. And there is this one kid, happens to be a black kid, colored kid, African-American kid. And if you tell them, go play with that black kid. So you already planted the seed in that child's head, the difference between that child and the other children. Same with the gays and straight. I know we have a long way to go to get to a point that it should really not matter. I remember one time this person told me that he has the feeling anytime he says, I'm a gay man, they connect that gay to just sex. It's sex. Well, like in straight world, that's part of it. I would call it intimacy. But it's not, that's not all. And it is really like, I think day to day, day by day, every day, I should say, when I talk to people, and as you guys know, probably I'm a hairstylist, I get clients, I have their friends coming to me and stuff. So when we talk about the subject, I honestly love to educate them and talk about this the way we talked tonight, that, you know, it just is. Think about it. It just is. Like if you introduce us to your friend, oh, this is Alan, this is Jay, and, oh, and by the way, they're a gay couple. Why is that necessary? They're a gay couple.
I think it's interesting, some of the stuff that came up in what you just brought up, in the sense of how we can start to categorize and like classify and separate ourselves through not only our differences in our physical descriptions, but also in our sexuality. And I think if you take away all the parts that can be very personal and hurtful when not accepted by our, like our close family and loved ones and those that we care about the most, and more from the standpoint of these are all many different choices in the human world that we can take on and identify with. Some are going to come as part of our personality. Some are going to come as part of our soulfulness. And some is going to come from a part of how we are, like, you know, the whole nature versus nurture thing as we grow up. And then there's also then how we evolve as an adult and how we mature. And do we stay kind of frozen or crystallized in what we were given or how we were told as kids or young adults? Or do we allow ourselves to be open to continuously find our own way with how we see what's going on in the world, as well as what we see going on in our own relationships and with our own family members and our own friends?
And I think when you decide to talk to your family about your life and what do you prefer, I mean, what you desire and who you are, a lot of times, or I shouldn't say a lot of times, almost always, we have this worst case scenario in our head, how our parents, how our loved ones, how our friends are going to react, and they're going to probably don't want to see us, don't want to talk to us. What's going to happen? And it is scary. But remember, honestly, I think we talked about this before, 99% of the time, the worst case scenario doesn't happen. And it's just us. Our brain creates this thought process to protect us. And I, for myself, was anxious for years to talk to my parents. And I thought if I would talk to them, I have to have the 911 ready to dial. My mom would pass out, go to ICU. And my dad would get a heart attack. And they didn't. Actually, they just sat there, listened. And when I was leaving, my mom walked me out and said, I love you. Please drive safe. And that was it. So, yes, and sometimes, you know, in some cases, some people are not blessed and some are not that lucky, and the parents disown them and they don't want to see them. They are so deeply involved in their religion or their upbringings, or they're so involved with themselves that their reputation comes before their child's happiness. And that happens also every single day to young kids. to adults that they are being honest to their family members. But at the end of the day, they will come around, and if they don't, at least you are living with integrity. You are living with honesty, honest to yourself, because pretending, how long is that gonna last? How long can you go pretending? Eventually, it gets frustrating and you break down. And I was almost there. And I'm like, you know what? I'll tell them, however they react, I'm gonna just leave it in God's hand, and I hope it's gonna go well. And I think it did. And we all have a journey in our lives. We are we are our parents' children, but as much as we love them, we respect them, remember, we are not properties of them. We will always, to nice, kind parents, we will always love them, be there for them. They might disagree on a lot of things, but at the end of the day, it is our life, and we live this life one time here. And we are here to live, to grow, and spiritually, mentally, and in every way, just to grow. And just go ahead and live your life. And with honesty, integrity, and enjoy it. And I think we all have been like kind of raised with this guilt trip and the shame that, oh my God, what if the neighbors know this? What if this happens? And so, trust me, I told my mom, I said, Mom, all the neighbors, all of them, they have a bunch of skeletons in their closet. Don't worry about them. They're more worried what you think about them. And it's true. So let the guilt and the shame, put it aside. Live with your integrity and your moral values.
So I did want to mention, well, thank you, babes, for being so brave to share tonight, by the way, and to be so vulnerable. And Terry Campbell is joining us in the chat. She also mentioned you and I. She says, beautiful show, Jay and Alan. Heartfelt and vulnerable. Blessings to you both.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Terry.
We appreciate you, and we appreciate everyone that's joining us. Let's see. So I wanted to mention a resource in case you happen to be a part of the LGBTQ community. There is a nonprofit called the Trevor Project. It's thetrevorproject.org. And you can go onto the website. You can chat with them from there. You can also call them at 1-866-488-7386 or text them at 678-678. And it is a resource for young teens and young adults, mostly. But it really is for anyone that is questioning their sexuality, is misunderstood about their sexuality within their family or within their community, or just really need help with either understanding themselves more or help also too for understanding a family member. So it's a great service. It's been around for a long time, and so I wanted to mention it. Okay, so we wanted to also put it out to those of you that are tuning in and joining us in the chat. If you would like to comment in and let us know what your experience has been, if you would like to so boldly share some about your sexuality and your journey with your sexuality and how that has been for you.
And also, it doesn't have to be necessarily a gay sexuality. Even as a young person and how you came out to learn about things and to be educated, was it through the parents, through friends, school, or just an experience? That would be a cool thing to discuss tonight.
That would be. I would love to hear how many people went through like sex ed classes back in the day, and whether you thought that it was, you know, now as an adult looking back, do you think it was valuable, or did it scare you to death like it scared me to death?
My God. Well, we never had a sex ed class in Iran, but we had a biology teacher, may he rest in peace, amazing man. One day, for 2 hours, instead of teaching biology, he talked about sexuality, sex, and masturbation, and sleeping with how the kids are born, how it's made. Oh, my God. When even we had a recess, nobody wanted to leave. Because it was, we were like, oh, my God, I have a question. We were all so excited. That was a great, that was our sex ed for a couple of hours through the whole year.
When I just think about kids now who have the whole internet to go searching on, or I shouldn't say all kids, but most teenagers and young adults have access to the internet at this point and can go search, you know, all kinds of different questions and get quite a few different answers, both reputable and otherwise. But it can be a whole education. My point is it can be a whole education through the screens.
Yes.
And we didn't have that. I didn't have that. You didn't have that.
No, I didn't have that. My son was born here, obviously. And then, so one day he was, I think was six, seven, or around that age, that I sat him down. I said, so, okay, I want to talk to you. He thought he did something. I said, no, I just need to talk to you as your dad. We need to talk about the birds and the bees. And he looked at me, but his eyes got all big. He's like, please don't. I know everything. Do you want me to tell you something, teach you something? I'm like, where the hell did you learn all this? He goes, school, friends, they have older siblings, there's internet. Like, I think he was older. I would say 8, 9. And I was in shock. I'm like, oh, my God. But kind of relieved that I don't have to go in detail and talk about things. We didn't have that. We never had that.
No, we did. We certainly did not. I remember the overhead projectors where they would put the slides on the overhead projector and it would go up on the screen. They would have pictures of all the different STDs. Or they had that, and then they also had slideshows where they would show us different pictures. So we had that very authoritative educational instruction that there was an emphasis on abstinence, but also we're going to show you, like, worst case scenario, if you aren't abstinent, what could happen. And so that's that's how I took it on. I internalized it.
You were very lucky. You guys had that over projector thing. We had neighbors, their kids, and that's where we would learn. And I think somebody, a cousin or somebody, found some old antique Playboy magazines. And when I saw the first pictures in that Playboy, I was shocked. I was just shocked. I didn't know what to think about it. I was just, oh, my God. But I think I remember probably sometimes I'm like, my God, I love their haircuts. They have beautiful hair.
You're like, ooh, look at that style.
Right?
See, I feel it's interesting because now I'm sure you can look back and see how those were all clues and cues to to show
yes, absolutely. But so that's why sometimes when people ask me, when did you find out that you're gay? You don't find out that you're gay. Either you are or you're not. You accept yourself as gay, and then you let people know. If you want, you come out to people. But find out, when I think now, I knew it since probably as far as I can remember. I should have known. I just didn't think about it or didn't accept it or excused it. But knowing, now that I think back, oh, my God, since I was in diapers, I was hoping that my diapers would be like all covered in sequins and glitter.
It's great to hear you share your perspective on that, because something about our discussion tonight's really helping me understand more about where people can see where it can come off as a choice, or why it can seem like a choice, and the whole sense that we come out of the closet. And I think that there is a choice to do that, a choice to share, a choice to be real. But there, is not a choice in the sense of, am I gay, am I not gay? No, I knew too from a very young age. I was always had an inclination to men and like to use your term, hotness. It was always about that hotness, about that intensity. And I didn't feel that with women. Like I can find, I still find and always have found women beautiful. I think they can be radiant and gorgeous, but I don't desire them sexually. Like that does not entice me I don't need to overthink it. It's not where my sexuality gets turned on, so to speak. And I've had to just be very real with myself about that. And it has not been easy because, like I said, I grew up in that evangelical, free Christian environment. And then in a world and in a society at the time in the U.S., it really was still not, you know, it was more accepted, but it still was not really that much of an accepted or acceptable, quote, lifestyle. And feeling the pressure of that as an empath, I've always been empathic. And I definitely have internalized people's judgment and I have taken it on as my own shame. And so those are the things that I've had to face, you know, and work through. And I know Alan has had his version. And what I love about this discussion, and I hope it has not only been helpful to us, but to you as well. If any of that's in there in you, whether it's because of your own journey or because of a family member or a dear friend, I hope that this can bring a bit of peace if there isn't in this particular area.
Well, definitely. I mean, we all have. I don't think necessarily it's always because of our parents or the religion. Sometimes, especially as a child, as a young teenager, young adult, we always want to blend in. And I definitely felt I'm different. And there were a couple of kids in my school that they were like me. We would always hang out together. We just kind of gravitated to each other. We didn't think, oh, you're gay, I'm gay, we hang out. No, it was just we gravitated. We were friends. We would play at recess. We would talk. We would laugh. And I think it's the fear of not belonging, being very different. And if the parents, especially if the parents would be like, yes, it's wrong, you need to be fixed or whatever, if they're like against it, that emphasizes so many levels, your shame and your guilt and your thinking like you're broken. But if the parents are more, okay, we love you no matter what, you're totally fine, and that's being supportive. But even we love you no matter what sounds bizarre to me, because it sounds like even you're broken, we love you, which is not right, because I think, I mean, my son is straight as far as I know, so I would be like, I love you no matter what you are, gay or straight. You know, because you're my child and I love you, you're a great person. And I think it takes us a while to accept us, to love ourselves. But the way I look at it, even that tough journey from young kid, teenager to young adult, that's a life lesson. You don't have to always blend in. And it's not just a gay person's perspective, like in this journey. Like straight people, straight man, straight woman, they can be different. Mm-hmm. Like physically different. And speaking, like I was very different wherever I went. I was a Middle Eastern guy that more feminine or flamboyant in a small town in Germany. So you pick it. I was the smallest kid, oldest one in my class, the smallest one in my class. I was the only one with dark hair or black hair, and I was feminine. So different can be a lot, and then we just work through them. We own them, it's ours, and it's so freaking beautiful. The way I look at it, when we are different, and I look at it, and I think I told Jay this, that the earth is a garden of flowers. And we, every single one of us, are a different flower, different color, different scent, different look, different. We serve differently. We bring different qualities to this earth. Imagine everybody would be the same. Like imagine an herb, just a garden, just red roses, instead of all different colors. That makes it beautiful, and we just have to celebrate each other. And not just tolerate it, celebrate it, encourage each other, help each other, and there wouldn't be the words, what do you call it, the race crime or hate crime or whatever crime, because who would go that far? We are all humans, and it's none of anybody's business. Like, I explained that to my son when I came out to him. He was about 16. I told him, I'm not keeping it a secret, because he asked me, who knows and who would you tell? I said, whoever knows, knows. But it's not a secret, but if anybody asks, I will be honest. And I'm not running around with the flag in my hand and running around and announcing and making a big thing about it. It's my life and it's my personal life. But if somebody that is close to me is asking, I can be honest, and it is up to people if they want to be still in your life or not, and they have the right not to want to be in your life. And I really don't take anything personally. And if they decide not to want to be in my life, then good. Because this, I look at it like this has been a big filter in my life for people that I really, really care for me, are there for me. Not because in their head, they picture me being intimate, sexual with my partner. And they're like, oh, I could never do it. I can't be with you. I don't want to be your friend. So, okay, if you've been my friend because your fantasies are working for you, now they're not, then I'd rather not you for you not to be my friend. So basically, be yourself, because, and then what, I don't know where I read this, what people think is none of our business. We can't control what they think, how they think, what they want, and what they don't want. So I am very blessed for who I am. And if there was a fairy godmother with a magic wand would come down and tell me, I'm gonna turn you straight, I would say, please don't. I'm very happy for who I am. It took me a long time to be where I am. And if you turn me straight, I have to go buy a bunch of new clothes.
That's that's true. You would need a whole new closet.
Yes.
My babes is not afraid of color
and sparkle.
Sparkle, pattern, revealing. My man's got some style over here. And it's also his own unique style. One thing that came to mind in one of the things you said, and I think it is a mixed bag for everyone, in the sense of those of you in the position to come out gay or bisexual or lesbian, that it's going to be a mixed bag on how you're received. For me, I was mostly received well. I really didn't have much pushback like I thought I would. Like we talked about earlier, the worst case scenario. But I did have an uncle who sent me a book, and it was about a program about going and becoming healed from being gay and going through like one of those rehabilitation. I can't think of the word. There's a word for it, but one of the rehabilitation programs. Great. And I remember when I got the book and got the letter, oh my God, I like about lit on fire. Like I literally about lit on fire because I was so angry. But all that to say, again, everybody's allowed to have their own opinion, and I don't need to take everyone's opinion on as my own. And I used to do that without even thinking about it. And so it has been an ongoing lesson, and this has been a huge one for me to not own other people's guilt, shame, judgment with regards to this topic, and others. But, you know, we'll talk about that in another show. I think it might be fun to talk about being empathic in relationships and maybe even get into a little bit of the empath versus narcissist, that dynamic. That might be two different shows.
Oh, my God. That should be like a 3, 4, 5 episodes of shows, because I can talk about that thing. Oh, my God. Yes, absolutely.
So I want to thank everybody for tuning in and joining us live this beautiful evening for Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles. You can find Alan online at hairbyalan.com. That's ALENBYHAIR.com. All of his social media and phone number is there if you would like to have a hair transformation or a makeup transformation with him. You can get his information there and book an appointment. And you can find me over on 12listen.com. That is the number 12listen.com. That is our sister site to 12 Radio, where I am available alongside all my other radio personalities and more for one-on-one support, healing sessions, psychic readings, oracle card readings, tarot readings, and astrology readings and more. You can find it all over at 12listen.com. A final announcement is Kat, Psychic Kat, is going to be coming on Backstage Pass tomorrow with Raven and I. We're very excited to welcome her to the show. She's been on already a couple of times, and she's coming back, and we're very excited to be able to continue our conversation and to get to know her even more, and to be able to have you be able to get to know her even more. Thank you again for joining us this beautiful evening. You have been listening to Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles on 12radio.com, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. Good night, and bye-bye, everybody.
Good night, everybody, and have a wonderful, happy life.